Hey, Colin, you had to get back to your old ways, didn't you? Your old agitation, your old, just putting the bait out there, talking about how 5th edition's more versatile than the other games. Which edition has been adapted to everything from Old West to gangbusters to space? It's BX. It's not 5th edition. There aren't cyberpunk and modern and Hellboy adaptations of 5th edition, are there? Okay. So maybe 5th edition is pretty versatile. But I don't think I'd say it's more versatile than the other editions. But I think that would take us down a road we don't need to go down. I also think your unbridled attack on the OSR in old school gaming with your jib at the end was unneeded, unnecessary, and I appreciated it and definitely giggled when you said it. So thank you for providing us entertainment.
Searching for moons, for an evil ogre in an ancient room, was a fortunate son of the OSR. Without a 10-foot pole, I wouldn't get very far. The ground was murky and I caught a look as the dungeon master opened up his grim tooth book. And then I fell into a spike pit. Oh yeah, spike pit. Oh, a bit would have spikes in it.
I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit.
So Dungeons & Dragons and WotC came up with 5th edition. It's been and continues to be very popular, eclipsing pretty much everything else to a large extent. In reaction to that, I think we're seeing a lot of publishers bringing out stuff with the 5th edition badge on them, and I'm wondering, is this becoming like another D20 boom? What does that badge mean? And when a product's got that badge on it, how much of 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons can you expect to find in the game? And the reason I'm asking this question is because looking at Adventures in Middle Earth, it's really quite different in a lot of ways to 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons. A lot of what's going on in D&D is tied up with tropes and, a fair bit of water's gone under the bridge. So you've got these, D&D's got its own stereotypes at this point. A lot of games that take the 5th edition badge do away with all of that, let's call it baggage, and do their own thing. So what is, or where is, the 5th edition in the 5th edition badge? And I've got to say, I don't really know. And when I don't know something, I try and find out.
Hey Colin, it's Jeff. I have to disagree with Mr. Goodman's comments about investigation. I think that in magic or in a technology-heavy campaign, mystery is super appropriate, because any technology or magic that can be used to expose a mystery can also be used to hide a mystery. And so, you know, divine magics can be used to cloud visions and make things more obtuse. Technology can be used to erase things, or deep fake things and make them seem like they're not really there or they're different. So I think investigations work in just about any setting, because at the end of the day, it's about the unknown, and that happens pretty much everywhere.
In 1 minute, I feel Jeff covers a lot of ground there. Very eloquently put, he sums up a lot of the sort of stuff that was knocking around in my head that I was struggling to get across. And that's a great thing about the call-ins. I find people quite often will hear what I'm trying to say, then leave a message that just sums things up way better than I could myself. So awesome job, Jeff. And you're not alone there in your thinking. Got another call now from Carl Rodriguez.
Hey, Colin. Most people are not quite accurate when they say things like, you can never do an X in Y. So, I'm saying that you could do investigations in any game. And actually, I'm reading through the latest Pathfinder 2 Adventure Path, Agents of Edgewatch. And that's all you do is investigate this and investigate that, because you're members of the law enforcement in the city of Absalom. I know also in the past, especially a setting like Eberron, which is touted as fantasy noir, you're like, can be a private investigator with the sidekick and go about investigating things, kind of like Perry Mason. And I did a reasonably long couple adventures with a John and that investigation where Jason Hobbs was the star of the show. It was play by post. He had a sidekick, a player named Shainster, who was with him. It was in the city of Sharn in Eberron, which you might be familiar with. And they solved a murder in the Cogs area. A Warforged was murdered. They helped with prevent a massive breakout of prisoners in a caravan of prison cages. And they started a murder investigation in another part of the city. So yeah, it can be done. And that was D&D 3.5. So there you go. It's not just for Call of Cthulhu.
I found what Carl had to say interesting for a couple of reasons. One, I realised that I've never played a game where the group were law enforcement of any description. And I think that sounds super interesting. And I recently picked up the Eberron book from WotC and was kind of thinking, when will I get a chance to run it? And the idea of an investigator and an assistant opens up a couple of options, because I could maybe just have a run through, try out the setting with one of the kids or both of the kids playing the kind of Sherlock Holmes and Watson type of combination, or just take an investigator and try out the sidekick rules from D&D 5th edition Essentials box set. So this has got me thinking, and I reckon either of those ideas would be super cool. And I'll be keen to hear how Carl gets on with his Edgewatch. I've played PF2, and I imagine with all the sort of options that you get with that system, you could run some pretty groovy investigations. But Carl's not finished. He's got a little bit more to say, so let's have a listen to that right now.
I guess I'm like the kind of player/GM/collector that has a lot of shelves, and I use different systems based on what I want to run or what I want to play, and hopefully I get players to do it and they enjoy it. That's the whole goal. So I guess my favorite systems have been, you know, D&D and Call of Cthulhu, but I got some other ones. I really enjoy running and playing Pathfinder. I just have a special place in my heart for Paizo and their publishing stuff, I guess. And I really enjoy the grimdark of Warhammer, so I like Warhammer Fantasy and all its incarnations. I guess those are my top four. And Traveler, but no one else wants to play.
So it sounds like Carl is a little bit sad about not getting to play Traveler. I guess if you're listening and you fancy a game of Traveller, perhaps you should look Carl up and maybe you can get a group together. And he's always keen to run games. He runs games all the time. And I joke that with Carl, it's all the games all the time. And I imagine there's not too many games he hasn't at least got a passing knowledge of or has heard of. Seems to keep his ear to the ground, and is a mine of information with regard to RPG releases and stuff like that. So, yeah, the gaming aficionado, Mr. Rodriguez, thanks a bunch for calling in. Now, a buddy of mine got his own podcast, Red Dice Diaries. It is, of course, John Large. I've managed to finally catch up with him in his OSE campaign. I've got a character there. I'm playing a dwarf, a dwarven mining engineer stroke prospector, and managed to get my first session in Friday gone. Had a busy week of gaming, played some Cthulhu, old school essentials, like I say. Cthulhu was with Andy Goodman, Call of Cthulhu. Pathfinder first edition with Joe of Hindsightless, Joe Richter. Ash, played a session of Ash with Kev, the Dungeon Muser. I feel like I'm forgetting something. No, I think I'm good. Got all the bases covered. Oh yeah, of course, no, I am forgetting something. I ran my own game of 5th edition and played some 5th edition with DM Ricky as well. So it was a busy week last week. A little bit quieter this week. That's by design. I'm a bit behind on a few things around the house. Ongoing problems with the boiler. And I got to thinking, there's some really nice weather. And I'm getting out into my own garden a little bit. I do. Regular listeners will know that I work as a gardener for a living. So you'd think I'd have all my ducks in a row when it comes to gardening. Not the case at all. It's been a little bit neglected this year. And in fact, I said to myself, next year I'm going to focus on my RPG hobby, mostly in the sort of like late autumn round to about springtime. Maybe about Easter time, I'm thinking. So in the kind of the darker, colder months, do the RPGs and focus on that. And then come the growing season and the summer, I want to get outdoors more. Go some places, get a bit more exercise. I've started a health routine again. I'm back on my 5-2 diet. I'm only gonna kind of consume alcohol at the weekends, and I've got to shift some weight, folks. I'm back over the 200 pounds mark, and I can't be doing that. I'm not a big fella. I'm only 5'8", 200 pounds. That's no good. So, yeah, got to get that down a little bit. So I'll keep you posted on my health drive. Going to do some more walking and make the most of this last sort of splash of warm weather before we get into the dreary November. Worst month of the year. October's normally all right here, but I'm not looking forward to November. That normally puts me well out of sorts. Anyway, let's get over to hearing what John's got to say.
All right there, me old mucker, it's John calling from the Red Dice Diaries, just listening to your latest episode. And I've got to say, I pretty much agree when you're saying that people tend to take things from different places. Obviously, as you know, I'm a big fan of like OSE. don't tell Jason though, and other sort of BX style games. And part of the reason I'm such a big fan of like OSR games is because there's a great deal of that sort of cross-pollination between systems. You know, as long as something's vaguely sort of D&D compatible, you can very easily take bits from other games and sort of import them into your own games. There's people producing optional rules and mini games and stuff like that, which you can either use or not, as is your want. Just thought I'd call in and say, very much enjoying the episode, dude. Take care, and I'll catch you, well, this evening for some OSE. Take care.
I've got to agree with John on this one. The compatibility between different old school products, it is a real boon. I don't think you need to have it particularly, but the fact that it's kind of evolved that way is super convenient, and it is a real plus point. Like I say, it's a boon. You can take ideas, of course, from other systems. I keep talking about looking a bit more into how Call of Cthulhu has done the push roll. It seems pretty simple on the surface, but I keep meaning to find out whether there's some sort of like hidden detail there that I'm maybe missing. I suspect there's not, but that seems like an idea that you could port to loads of different things. And if that is the case, I think I might try something like that in my ongoing 5th edition game. And this is the beauty of RPGs. I said it before, but it's this massive melting pot, which is just awesome. It's an awesome aspect of the hobby that I wouldn't say you find so much in other things. And I always chuck in board games, but it's hard not to compare the two because I'm engaged in both of those activities. And I really sort of, if I don't get my RPGs in, I do sort of really miss them. The board gaming just doesn't scratch that itch for me. Now, I'm noticing as I'm looking down the messages and everything, this is once again all pit crew contributions. So I want to, you know, give a shout out to these guys, the pit crew. They're my patrons over on Spike Pit Patreon, and I want to welcome aboard a new member to the crew, Yvonne of New Zealand. Got in touch via an email from Dave Aldridge that was forwarded on to me back when we was doing Purple Worm. Yvonne was listening and played some of the episodes in his coffee shop there, and I'm always amazed when you hear these stories of like far flung places where, you know, people are enjoying something that you're putting out there. And it is one of the benefits of this kind of technology we've got now, that just a guy with a phone like myself who likes his gaming has a tendency to chat a bit too much, can put out a podcast, and there's folk enjoying it and consuming it on the other side of the world. So, yeah, so a new patron, a new member of the Pit Crew. Welcome aboard, buddy. Hope you enjoy and maybe muster up a bit of courage and make that call in. And hello to anybody in the coffee shop in Auckland, if you're listening. It's hello from Spike Pit in the UK.
Hey, Colin, dude, I am so happy to hear that your Chult campaign is going strong this far into it. And, you know, I sort of hope you don't end up introducing the main storyline of Tomb of Annihilation, because personally, I don't think it's a very good one. I think all of that adventure and the sandboxy nature of Chult and everything trains you to play in one certain way. But once you get to the Tomb of Annihilation, the temple, the main stuff, you have to play a completely opposite way or else you're just dead automatically. And I just don't think it's, I don't think it's really well done, man. And the death clock or whatever they call it mechanic in there, I think it's lame. And I just like what you're doing, man. Peace out.
So I had my doubts about the tomb from the word go. I've looked at it and ummed and ahed, and I think this call from Joe has pushed me over the edge, really, and I'm resigned now to the idea of breaking it up into bits and repurposing it. I think the UNT, they've clearly got this plot going on. There's a sort of snake worshipping cult that the characters have run into in Port Nyanzaru. So I'm just going to kind of like spin that out and develop that idea a bit more in the direction of the character's interest. And this mega dungeon has never really gone down too well with the kids. I think they get fed up of like shambling through all the different rooms. And if I break it up, I think it'll be much more successful. I don't need to worry about this death curse, because we've never really played a lot with resurrection. So all that side of the death curse where people are not being, people that have been resurrected are like fading away, and it's all a bit of a nonsense for me in my game. So yeah, I think that's it. I think that's a decision that'll get binned, and I'll rework it. So yep, thanks for the little push there, Joe, and catch up with you again soon in your Pathfinder game, I guess.
Lastly, I think reviewing Elder Tales is a great idea. I look forward to that. I also hope you can get Joe Salvador on for an interview on your show, because I'd love to hear him talk about his thoughts on game design and, you know, a variety of things. As you know, he played in our Bushido Light game where I used different system to run it, but I ran that, you know, Japanese cinema inspired game for you guys. And Joe, you know, he's got a wide range of knowledge. So I'd love, you could even talk archery with him, right? So I'd love for you to get Joe on the show and do an interview with him. So that's my big interview request. And with that, I'll leave you alone. Thank you, Colin.
I can confer your call was not wasted, Jason. The interview with Joe is in the can, awaiting editing, and hopefully I'll get to that soon. Glad Jason enjoyed the overview of Eldritch Tales, but I've got to say, I'm not hearing the love for White Box lately. It seems that OSC has eclipsed or kind of taken over a little bit in the popularity stakes. Everybody was putting out White Box games at one point, and now it seems to have gone more in the direction of old school essentials, which is a bit of a shame. I think White Box is probably my preferred version, but I do obviously enjoy and play old school essentials as well. But I can't get over the thief. I know. I always talk about it, but that janky percentage system. I think if I was running that, I would have to step in there with some house rules, and maybe take some of the ideas that I like out of White Box and add them into my old school essentials. But then there we go again, tweaking and muddying the waters. Will it never end? Well, that may never end, but this episode certainly is. Thanks to everybody who called in. Basically, the pit crew. So it's a big thanks to the pit crew for calling in and their ongoing, continuing support and generosity over on Spike Pit Patreon. You're keeping me going and growing. Last but not least, I want to say a big thanks to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.
I fell into a spike pit. Oh yeah, a spike pit. Oh, if it would have spikes in it.